What's going on? It's that dude, Daryl Taylor. I'm Justin Valentine. The Rock returned on SmackDown. Could Jade Cargill be on her way to WWE and AEW Grand Slam in New York this week? We'll preview that. It's time to roar around the ring. What a moment that was, Daryl. The loudest pop I've heard in wrestling. Not WWE, not AEW, not anywhere else around the world. In wrestling, in over 20 years, The Rock showing up on SmackDown with Pat McAfee in Denver, Colorado, had a segment with Austin Theory, took him out. It was rumored that it was possible to happen because College Game Day and the Pat McAfee show was in Boulder, Colorado for the Colorado State football game. The Rock was on Pat McAfee's show earlier that day, and he talked about WWE, which we'll get into as well. And then everyone thought, okay, they're only an hour away. What are the chances that The Rock shows up on his show? And then we're like, no.
No way. The Rock doesn't do the small cities.
No offense to Denver, but yeah. Which, Bob, why was he already in Denver? Because he ended up on Pat McAfee's show because he's like, oh, I'm in Colorado, so if you have time for me. Why are you just hanging out in Colorado?
Because there's nothing going on in Hollywood right now.
That's why Cena's back,
too. Exactly. Yeah.
So Pat McAfee opens the show. The Rock comes out. They take out Theory. Your reaction to them going to The Rock for this stellar surprise of a moment?
I mean, you mentioned the ovation. We're talking inside an arena.
Yeah.
This isn't a stadium.
Yeah.
This was nuts. That Denver crowd just was. I mean, even the interaction for, you know, the words we won't repeat here was super cool. Like, just to orchestrate that on the fly was really cool. And, I mean, the fans loved it. I popped for it. I'm watching it at home. I jumped off the couch. It was really, really, really cool moment.
What makes it cool is, like you just mentioned, the kind of last minute of this, and the way I know and the way we know this was last minute was because Pat McAfee didn't know his show was going to be in Boulder until about Tuesday of last week. The Rock didn't know he was going to be on Pat McAfee's show until he texted him about Wednesday, Thursday, which means Triple H probably didn't make the call or text until late Thursday, early Friday.
This was definitely a group text.
Yes.
Somebody, it was Pat, The Rock, and Triple H.
Can I live in that group chat?
Can I just be the fourth person in there and just read the stuff?
Just,
you know, like,
to see what's
I'll just, like, you know, send an emoji or just react to the comment. That's all.
Yeah. I'm just that guy that reacts
I have no other
to
input.
Everything in the group
I'm just going to heart everything.
But very last minute. But, of course, The Rock, one of the greatest of all time, can pull it off, and he did. And shout out to Pat McAfee, who sold that moment so well, right?
Dude. Pat's a natural, man.
Pat's a natural, but this was something that, you know, they gave him a large task here, last minute or not, because to not only be out there with The Rock in his return. Remember, The Rock hasn't been full-time in WWE in 10 years.
Right.
We haven't seen him in WWE at all in 4 years. So to sell the moment, especially that it was a surprise. No one knew The Rock was going to be there. So Pat's line of, do you know what that means?
Right.
And for him to sell that so well leading into The Rock song, that was great performing again by Pat McAfee. You said it. He's a natural. He's a natural at a lot of things, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
He's a great punter. He's a great host. He's a great broadcaster. He's great in WWE. But you want him everywhere, and he can't be everywhere.
I was sure he was talking about the People show, and it's the People, and I'm like, well, we're definitely getting John Laurinaitis back,
of
right?
Of course.
People power. I was ready. Let's do this, man.
Oh, man. That would have been a phenomenal swerve.
Right? John Laurinaitis.
Knowing that The Rock's in Colorado and we get John Laurinaitis.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing. There's one thing I will say about this, and again, I love the moment. Chills, the loudest pop I've heard in wrestling in a long time. All your other moments that you say loudest pop, even Edge's return at the Rumble and everything else,
that was
doesn't even
pop,
compare.
Though.
Does not even come close. The one thing I'll say about this is, of course, we have the looming Roman Reigns situation with The Rock, which The Rock addressed on Pat McAfee's show. He said that it was in the works, that him and Vince met over a year ago. It sounded like it was going to happen. They basically just put their pencils down for now, is what he said, because they wanted to find the right way to do it, and as of now, they didn't have it. And then he brought up, okay, well, there's WrestleMania in Philadelphia. So there's a lot to unpack here with The Rock bringing this up, and shout out to Pat to get this out of The Rock.
Yeah.
And we kind of finally get our answers.
That's a big get.
But number one, do you feel like this return took away, assuming if we're going to get a Roman match this year or whenever at Mania, Did this return take away from whenever he does show up against Roman Reigns?
I don't think so. I don't think it took away. It was just kind of a nice moment for the fans. I do think that because now it's kind of like when you go see like a DC or Marvel movie and you see, you know, these superheroes existing in the same universe and you're kind of like, oh, they're in the same place at the same time. So in wrestling, when you have, especially now, when you have Roman Reigns and The Rock on the same show, now we're making a lot of assumptions that The Rock's going to be here regularly. He may or may not be. I wouldn't bank on that.
Right.
But Roman and him now having that possibility of they can be on the same show. I'm watching that segment on Friday and I'm like, okay, well, if he comes back again, Roman Reigns has to be here the next time.
Sure.
And you have to have that interaction. So I don't think it took away from it. I think it can still, it's something I think now people are anticipating more.
For me, it did. I feel like as great as this moment was, and clearly, again, last minute, Triple H didn't know Rock and Pat were going to be in town, the same town that SmackDown happens to be in. But for this to be looming over Roman Reigns' storyline for years now, for it to be so close to happening last year, for it to potentially be happening this upcoming year, it's a waste. It's a waste to have The Rock's big... It's The Rock, right?
Right.
This dude hasn't been seen in 5 years in WWE. He hasn't been full-time in a decade. He's one of the greatest of all time. For him to come back, to have as big of a storyline as his cousin, the head of the table, the face of WWE, Roman Reigns, and everyone wants that match. And if it doesn't happen, then this moment wasn't a waste.
Right.
But if we get to the point of Rock and Roman, especially if it's within the next year, then this was a waste. You wasted it on Austin Theory, right? Like, this pop was a huge for the fact that it was The Rock back in WWE. You can multiply it by at least five if he comes out on Roman Reigns, because now the excitement is, holy shit, he's back for good. He's back to come out on Roman. This is the match we want to see. And the fact that we've been waiting for The Rock to come out on Roman and The Rock finally comes back and doesn't even mention the bloodline, doesn't even run into Jimmy, Solo, Paul, nobody. Roman hasn't been there since SummerSlam. This was a waste of a Rock return. It was a great moment. It was just, and it was a great crowd reaction. This, with the Roman Reigns storyline just lingering there, we're waiting for it to happen. This was a waste of a Rock return, period.
I don't know about that. I don't think it was a waste. I will agree with you that it's, I think we both mutually agree with this, that Austin Theory constantly getting these big interactions with these major stars, and it's just like, dude, nobody cares about you.
Still nobody cares. It goes back to what John Cena said. You're going to beat me at WrestleMania, and still nobody's going to care.
Cena predicted it all.
We said it about Grayson Waller, and it's normally a good thing. Oh, they put you in these segments with these big stars, they, you know, we can see what they see in you.
Yeah, but guess what? I care about Grayson Waller.
Exactly.
So.
With Theory, when you put him in the ring with Pat and Rock, if anything, it just exposes exactly why.
Right. It's like who's the weak link here?
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Where Grayson Waller, when he had a segment with Edge with Cena, you know, I wish he would have put him in there with Rock and Pat. I feel like that would have made more sense.
Right.
You know, Grayson Waller's been calling out The Rock the last couple weeks. He's been mentioning The Rock. Do it.
Well, see, this is also my point with why I don't think this was wasted. You can still build on this. It's not a do it this week or do it next week or never kind of thing. We can have Jimmy Uso or Roman Reigns or Paul Heyman, either of those three can allude to or mention The Rock being there. It doesn't have to be, they didn't all meet up on Friday, so now it's a squandered idea. It's not. It can still be implemented and put into place.
That moment was just too special for it not to be with Roman.
But as a last minute thing put together,
I thought
it was great. I think now I think
you could have just done Pat and Theory.
I think to your point,
that got a great reaction.
Right. I think to your point though, had they had time to plan it out a week or so or two ahead, you would have seen probably an involvement, maybe not with Roman, but probably with Jimmy.
Right.
Or at least Paul.
That would have even made it a little more
Paul
sense
and
for
Solo
me.
Would have been a thing too. So right.
So he did mention on Pat's show that WrestleMania in Philadelphia is coming up. It could be a possibility. How do you book this? Do you want The Rock and Roman this year like we did last year, or are you moved on from that idea?
I mean, I still want Cody Roman, too.
Right.
But
can't have both.
Well, no. I mean, not unless you're going to have Roman pull double duty. But then you're making one of those matches on either night of WrestleMania seem lesser than the other, and you don't want to have a situation where, you know, Roman drops it to Cody –
Right.
But then he goes on night two and faces The Rock. Now Cody's title win means nothing.
Right.
You know, but anyway, that aside, if we're talking strictly Roman and The Rock, you have Roman and you have Jimmy and you have Paul Heyman. You have them kind of drop little nods or like little sneak disses towards The Rock.
Sure.
Or Roman solidifying that he is the head of the table. He is the tribal chief. And just you can have Rock respond to things on social media. You can have him say stuff in interviews. It doesn't have to be a thing where we have to kickstart this full throttle right now. It can just be, you can take a couple more months until we event. You could do this until the Rumble, really.
Right, yeah.
That's how I would book it, just these kind of little sneak disses. And then eventually we get the face-to-face night after the Rumble.
Yeah.
You get your face-to-face. That now we're on trajectory to WrestleMania.
For multiple reasons, including the one that I mentioned earlier about why I feel like this was a waste of a Rock return, I would hold off a year, another year, until we get Rock Roman for multiple reasons here. Number one, at this point, especially with the Bloodline story and Roman story, I don't want the title involved. I don't need the title involved with Roman Rock. It makes no sense to have it involved. It made a little more sense last year when Roman was still in the middle of his run. I think it's time to take the title off Roman completely, especially if he's going to be this part-time. Plus, again, the Bloodline story itself is just kind of falling apart. I don't need the title involved, and it really doesn't make sense to take the title off Roman between now and Mania, number one. Number two, with The Rock returning now, I still want that moment of, oh my God, he's here against Roman. We're only a few months away from the road to WrestleMania, believe it or not,
right,
which means The Rock would have to show up within the next couple months. I would rather him wait over a year so you can still have that shock value of, oh my God, he's here, we're doing this, number two. Number three, compared to last year to this year, we have too much going on to put aside if we want to Rock Roman. Does Cody get his rematch? Seth's the world champion now. There's rumors about CM Punk, and they are legitimate rumors.
Right, yes.
Right? There's a lot going on within the title picture and around Roman on top of the Usos and the solo drama. There's a lot going on that you would have to put aside for The Rock right now. Wait a year. Let Cody get his rematch this year. Let Cody take the title off Roman. Do whatever the hell you want to do with Roman for the next year. And you can do Rock Roman with no title next year for WrestleMania and leave it at that. Rock Roman made more sense last year at WrestleMania because Cody was just coming off of injury.
Right.
So it made sense to potentially hold him off from the title picture. They didn't, but it would have made more sense because he was just coming back from injury. This year, he has a year under his belt. He lost it once. He needs to win his next title match. And you don't want to push him aside
right
for The Rock, who will not win the title.
No, if you're going that route again, if they are going to, and honestly, in my opinion, the only thing going on that fans, a majority of fans have kind of promised themselves is that we're going to get Cody Rhodes in the main event of WrestleMania again.
Right.
That may or may not be even on the brains of the WWE creative or Triple H, whomever.
Yeah.
They might be thinking, no, we're going Rock Roman at 40. It's going to happen. I don't know. We'll see. But I really think that Cody Rhodes' situation is the only elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't want to change it. They don't want to see him go. I know some people might say, well, he can go with Seth Rollins. Personally, I don't want to see him go with Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
I don't think that's not the match I want to see at WrestleMania. But The Rock, you know, I don't think that, like, again, I don't think it was a squandered thing. I think you can still do this. You can still pull it off. I think it could still mean something. Even if they do it at 40, I don't dislike your idea of waiting a year. I think you have enough time to build it up. And if Cody wins the title from Roman, in my thought process is Roman goes away.
Right.
He's going to be gone for a majority of next year if he loses that title.
And he could come back for his match with Rock.
Because that's going to be Cody's run.
Right.
Roman comes back towards the end of the year. We lead into his match at Mania with The Rock. So that's one way to go about it.
I know we wanted to talk about Rock, you know, with everything that was said and done last Friday unexpectedly. Let's get to a couple other things before we get out of here, including the rumors that Jay Cargill is on her way out of AEW, not only on her way out of AEW, contract expired, but on her way to WWE. Your thoughts on how Jade Cargill could look in the WWE's women's division?
She is going to get the star treatment. She's going to be an instant star. I think she's instantly going to be over. The matchups there are going to, for her, the possibilities are damn near endless. It's going
to
be good.
I don't want to skyrocket her, though. You know, like, she's a star. She looks like a star. That's what AEW did. She's also green. She's very green. She's gotten a lot better from her debut. And that's one thing that AEW kind of struggles with in general. And she kind of called them out in an interview. And that is helping these young wrestlers develop, right, and to sell well on TV. And she brought up in an interview the first time she had to swing a chair, nobody showed her how to.
Right.
Nobody. There was no rehearsal. There was no nothing. When we watched her swing a chair on TV, that was the first time she's done it. The only thing she got was from CM Punk telling her to choke up, and that's about it. So
very helpful.
Very helpful, right?
Thanks, Phil.
So she came in very green to wrestling. She's gotten a little better, but with how big of a star she looks like and can be, you don't want her going out there in a main event looking that green. Like, and that's what AEW kind of did to her.
Right.
Not her fault, right? Not everyone, trust me. We talk about that. That's why when we talk about the likes of Pat McAfee, Logan Paul, who and Bad Bunny, who step in and just look great.
They just, there's natural, they take to it. Yeah.
But you have to remember how much time they probably put in behind the scenes.
And that's what I think you do with her.
Right. And that's where there's rumors that she's always already going to the Performance Center. But I would bring her in and like have smaller rivalries first. Don't put her near the big stars. Don't put her near Becky and the NXT title. Don't put her near.
Yeah, I don't even want to get started on that.
Don't put her near Bianca. Don't put her near Asuka. Don't put her near any of those girls. Have her come in, some good squash matches. I think a good pay-per-view win over someone like a Natalya, who's kind of at the point of her career of putting everyone else over. I think that would help her. She could be a star. It needs to be a slow build to get to that, though.
Well, you can mix. You can have her in the mix with the bigger names. I think, to your point, though, her matches should be squash matches.
Yes.
Her matches should be against the Chelsea Greens, against Emma.
Yep.
You know, and against Natalya. Natalya being one of the women's wrestlers she should be working with behind the scenes.
Right.
She should be training. So Jade Cargill should come in as a talker.
Yes. Yeah, Tyson Kidd, too, her husband.
Yeah, and just talking and talking trash and cutting down the women's division, how she's the greatest thing to happen to WWE women's division, blah, 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 blah. Constantly being like, okay, well, prove it, whatever, you know, and then just, well, I don't have to, blah, blah, excuses, dodging the issue. Her matches that she has are squash matches by hook or crook.
Right.
She maintains the aura of being a star. That's how you present her. And then behind the scenes, she's working with Natalya or somebody, getting herself ring ready. So when she has her big match, good to go.
So when she does get to the point of being a star and being in the main event, in the title picture, one dream match that you want to see Jade Cargill in WWE?
Her and Charlotte.
Charlotte.
I think that's your money match. I mean, there's a lot of money matches for the table.
Of course.
But I think I'm thinking WrestleMania.
Okay.
Jade Cargill versus Charlotte Flair.
Jade Cargill, your WrestleMania match? There's two things I think with this, but the main one, my main match is Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you have two, like Charlotte's great, right?
Yeah.
But Charlotte's more athletic than powerful, right?
Yeah.
Both Jade, especially after she gets, you know, some training, both Jade and Bianca are powerful and athletic.
True,
and that, when you can, you know, fine tone Jade's work, she could be a Bianca Belair in there. She looks to be
Also what's cool is she can pose a physical threat to someone like Rhea Ripley.
Right.
So
that's
another big match. I mean, there's
more than Nia Jax.
There is a year plus worth of matches and feuds that she already has. She could have lined up, barring anybody not being injured or anything else.
Right.
I think this is going to be good. It really is. Like, they're going to give her all the tools to work with. It's going to become a thing of really, like, sink or swim.
And I wonder if bringing stars like Jade Cargill over to WWE, because they have not added a star to the women's division in a minute. I wonder if it opens the eyes to the likes of Trinity or Naomi, Mercedes, Sasha, you know what I mean? The potentially, you know, within the next year or so.
You never know.
You know, bring their way back. Again, Sasha was shown at All In London and hasn't been seen in AEW since. We thought that was going to lead to something.
I mean, at some point, Tony Khan's pocketbook might not be enough.
Especially after showing up in New Japan.
Yeah.
She's definitely worth it, but she's also injured right now.
Yeah.
So that could be it as well. AEW's got Grand Slam in New York back at Arthur Ashe this week. Let's go quickly through some of the big storylines and matches going on. MJF Samoa Joe world title. Samoa Joe beating Roderick Strong to get that title shot. Do you feel like Roderick Strong should have been put in this spot, or do you like this call?
I like it because of Samoa Joe, and I'm a big fan of his. Sure. I think you could have put Roderick Strong here. You could have MJF retain and do Roderick Strong at Wrestle Dream.
Yeah.
You could have Joe win it in California at Full Gear. I mean, at the Kia Forum. He's from California.
Right.
That's where he can get his win if he does win it. I mean, you're gonna have to do some stretching out with the booking to get there, but it's possible.
Well, AEW is turning more and more into WWE in the sense of they're having more pay-per-views, right? We have WrestleDream now in between now and Full Gear.
WrestleDream.
Yeah, so and WrestleDream is only a few weeks away.
Right.
Samoa Joe MJF feels like a pay-per-view match for me. Samoa Joe is that good, right? Samoa Joe, I said it last week, could be the guy to take the title off MJF. Roderick Strong is there to push the Adam story, the comedic value. He's not an actual contender.
But it almost seems kind of filler in a way.
Right,
yeah.
But which is why, because this is a weekly TV show, it could have filled in for the main event here and hold off Samoa Joe for the pay-per-view. I thought they would go that route. That's the route I would have went, but I'm not mad at this match.
Right.
I just wish, you know, to see the build into a pay-per-view match.
Right.
Roderick Strong could have got this spot for me, cheated to win, whatever it may be. Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara going one-on-one. Are you interested in the story they're trying to tell here?
I am interested enough to care about seeing the match. I mean, kind of the student-teacher dynamic. They're trying to, like, desperately repair a friendship that's very, like, you know, on its last leg. I mean, that's interesting. The drama is interesting to watch.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the match I'm sure will be fine. I'm just not super invested in a lot of Jericho stuff recently, so...
I watching the promo they had on Dynamite last week, I thought to myself, nobody overexplains the story they're trying to tell than Chris Jericho and AEW. Like, yes. You don't need to remind us every other promo and when he's on commentary on Rampage. Like, he's just overly pushing.
Yeah.
This is the story we're trying to tell. He thinks he's ready.
It's for this thing that happened 4 years ago.
Yeah.
At this promo in this city.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah. I got it.
When I'm watching a TV show with my girl and there's like the characters just over explain what already happened.
Yeah.
It's very irritating.
Yeah.
Yes, we saw it. We were there.
It's like I'm not as dumb as I look.
Right. Jericho in AEW has gotten to that point, and it takes away from his stories. I hope Sammy goes over. I think Sammy could be something from here. It definitely makes more sense for him to get the win over Jericho. But I just, again, I get lost in Jericho's stories because he over explains. I get the story. Just tell the story.
Just tell.
Please.
Let me see it happen.
Let me see
flesh
it
out. Yep.
Tony Storm's getting a women's world title match against Saraya. Your thoughts on this change of character from Tony Storm?
I really like this kind of disgruntled Hollywood starlet from back in the day approach he's doing. It's really cool. her catchphrases or something else now.
Yes.
I'm enjoying it. I think the match will be really good. I hope she wins. I just want to see like more of this. I want this to go on. So I'm a fan.
I don't think she wins, but this is the best we've seen Tony Storm.
Yeah.
Ever. WWE, AEW. No,
I was gonna say I haven't seen this from her anywhere. So this is great.
She is funny.
Yeah.
She's got that comedic timing. Like
it's like where
perfect.
Was this?
Where has this been? Saraya just won the title in London. I don't think they take the title off of her. But what I like about this Toni Storm character is losses help the character.
Yeah.
And that's when you know you have a good character.
It gives her
right?
more fuel for that character to keep being that character.
Sami Zayn, when he was heel, he didn't have to win because the losses fueled how irritating he was.
Yeah, the conspiracy theories.
Exactly.
And they're all, that whole thing.
And Toni Storm's kind of got that going for her. She doesn't need to win, but, man, she has never been better.
No, this is great. I'm really enjoying it.
Claudio and Eddie Kingston, title for title. How much do you love this story that they've been telling for a long time now?
I like it. I like that sit-down they had.
Yes.
Again, not overly explaining step-by-step, but they're addressing the history of it. They're addressing their rivalry. The sit down was really cool. I liked how it was just, you know, Eddie's always on fire. He's always like, you know, in your face. And Claudio was very calm, cool, reserved, basically told him, what do you tell him? Something to the effect of, when I lose this title, I'll be to a better man and it's not you. And I was just like, damn, burn. Like, that was really good. I'm looking forward to this. You know, it's in Kingston's backyard. I think he should win it. I wouldn't mind if he does. I think the match is going to be really, really good.
Yeah, Eddie Kingston should win this. I've been an Eddie Kingston fan for a minute. I mean, the dude's just so good.
Yeah.
You just so passionate.
He's
feel
authentic.
Yes,
yeah.
Very authentic. And you can relate to him. And I love all of it. To the point that with this story, what's funny, and this is because of how authentic he is, how irritated he gets at Claudio is so funny. I get irritated when I see Claudio. Like, when Claudio shows up on screen, I have the same feeling that, like, oh, God, what? You know what I mean? Like, he has that, and it just, that's how infectious it is that what he's trying to do here.
Yeah.
And yes, Eddie Kingston deserves to go over. He's gotten one pay-per-view match, and I know this isn't a pay-per-view, but he's gotten one pay-per-view match, you know, since AEW's been starting to push him. He deserves a little bit more, and I think this is a good spot. You're not trying to put the world title on him.
No,
it's not a pay-per-view.
Spot.
Claudio's not too big of a star. He can take the loss and go back to the Blackpool Combat Club and
Because, yeah, if Claudio loses the title, he's not really losing positioning-wise in the company because he's in an over faction. So it'll be good.
Roll Around the Ring is every Wednesday. Find us wherever you get your podcasts, including WRIF.com in Detroit. He's that dude, Darrell Taylor. I'm Justin Valentine. We'll talk to you guys very soon.